I guess I'm having sympathy pains for the pastor. Because my back went out on me yesterday, and I've been having trouble with it ever since. Well, anyhow, we're going to do something a little different this morning. Preacher wants to talk to you, and he's not able to come in here and just stand here. So he's made a video for us. And if y'all want to go ahead and lower that screen there, he's going to, I have no idea what all he's going to say to you this morning. But I'm sure he's watching, and I do want to ask you to pray for him like it was you. You know, we got a good God, and there's a lot going on, and I guess he's fixing to tell you everything that's happening. But he needs prayer right now, so we ask that you pray that God will continue to encourage and strengthen him and to get him through this episode with his back. And as soon as he gets that down, there we go. All right, let me get out the way. Go ahead and start that, my brother.
Well, good morning. A little different this morning for Sunday school. I appreciate Pastor Parsons and Brother Perkins allowing me to take the Sunday school time. I thought it might be good to come in and give a little bit of explanation about where I've been. It hadn't been a long fishing trip. It's been a time I couldn't help. I thought I'd explain it just a little bit. Kind of propped up on a pain pill this morning, so I hope you'll count me a little slack. It's obvious I hadn't visited the barbershop in a while and a few other places, but I thought I'd give a word of explanation and express my appreciation to so many of you for praying for me, and some of you have given me some very useful tips I've tried to use and been helpful. You saw me walking in with a cane. There's a story behind this cane. This is my grandpa's walking stick. It's older than me. It's made out of hickory up in Georgia. I remember playing with this walking stick when I was about 4 years old. I made a horsey out of it, rode it up and down Grandpa's long hallway in his house. And somehow, through my brother and my dad, that got preserved, and when I got to hurting and needed some help, I asked my wife, do we still have that walking stick that Harvey gave us? And she found it in the closet, and I want to tell you, I've gotten very skillful with this thing. It's helped me walk. It's got a hook in it. So what do you use that for? Well, shepherds used to use that on their sheep. I don't have any sheep. I do have a wife. And we found that we kind of help each other out now. Anyway, wanted to just kind of give an explanation. Been a long time of hurting and being out of church. Certainly miss that. But pain is no stranger to so many. So many of you out there hurting now. So many in radio land. So many in the hospital. So many on our prayer list. I know that. And I do not feel special. I feel that my turn has come, like so many others, to maybe do a little hurting. But I'm going to ask you to go to a Bible with me for a few verses. We'll go to that great victory chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And maybe just point out a few little things. What happened here to me was sudden, just an average day when I was doing things around the house. I don't think I fell. I don't think I bumped it. I don't think I hurt my leg or anything. But about 3 a.m., I did wake up with excruciating pain and thought I'd walk it off the next day and other things. And several days passed, but it kept getting worse and worse. And finally, Brother Gillum was over helping me, or doing a little job for me, really, on the old car the church gave me. And just got to hurting so bad that afternoon. By the time we were through, I went in, sat down in the easy chair, and then I found I couldn't hardly get out of it. and all night long there, and the pain increasing. So finally, about 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, I done what a lot of you've done. I called the pastor, and Brother Parsons said, "I'll be there in 20 minutes. He was there in about 15. And he took me to the emergency room, and I wound up about 5 days in the hospital and still couldn't find the trouble and see what was the matter. And finally, with the MRIs and stuff they were taking, they found out that the lower left spine had herniated disc that exploded or ruptured or whatever the terminology was. All I know is it sure did hurt. And as I look to the Word of God here in Romans chapter 8, great chapter, it begins in verse 1, Romans chapter 8, tells us there's no condemnation. We have now no condemnation if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's great. Chapter also ends saying we have no separation from the love of God. So it's a chapter many people turn to when they're trying to look past the trials that they're going in. And certainly I have done that. Interesting that this chapter is such a comfort to so many people, and you can see why. Now, as far as getting advice from everybody, I appreciate it. Some of it has been very helpful. I said already I'm in a program. They're trying to go through some steps that may help me to avoid major surgery. If it does have to come, it'll be after Christmas. Brother Jerry Roberts here got me in touch with a doctor that's helped him. I'm into that part. They're trying to help me too. And we're just praying God is going to use some of that. He is in the business of using medicine and doctors. He can use anything. One of the disciples, one of the apostles, of course, was Luke the physician. So we understand that, and yet he tells us to pray for the sick. He tells us that he can heal, and we believe that. So we're trusting that, of course, first and foremost. And it's been lasting a long time. Missed church several times, even though we were able to listen on the radio and get the blessing of that. And still we'll be doing that even this morning. As you look at the video now, we will be listening to the message also this morning on the radio. I want to consider just a little bit of truth here from the chapter this morning, since it is the Sunday school hour. You know, pain is a part of life. It has a good side to it. God give us pain to let us know something's wrong. And of course, it also warns us that sooner or later, life ends in what we call death, and that we're heading that way, one step at a time. And I think about this. We see pain worldwide. I feel so sorry for the terrorist attack over in the Mideast and all the people that's suffering. And imagine that. That's real to every one of them. My pain is real to me. Yours is real to you. And, of course, we feel for those that are hurting and so seems so needless and so evil of what is going on in the world. But we live in a fallen, depraved world, and pain is part of it. I look here in Romans chapter 8, and I drop down about verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Goes on down through some great verses here, and it tells us that the whole creation is suffering in pain. And it tells us here in verse 21, because the creature itself, that's talking about the whole world, the whole creation, all the creatures, "the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." There is a victory time, a liberty time coming. The next verse, verse 22, says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Think on that a little bit. The whole world is hurting. Yeah, we have our good days. We have our bad days ahead. I sometimes talk to young people and tell them the book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 12 to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days and the hurting years come, when you'll say you have no pleasure in them. I was in the hospital, and there was a young orderly helping me around from one test to another. And he made some comment to me about, says, what kind of water do you drink to stay as young as you are for your age? And I said, it's not the water. The Lord has blessed me and given me a good life. And I said, let me give you just a warning. You're in health now. You're doing good. He said he knew the Lord. I said, don't take your health for granted. Time is ticking away. Use it. Enjoy it. Give God the glory for it. And remember the Creator in the days of your youth. And I would say that to not only young people, but to older people. Having been a pastor all these years, I've seen so many folks in pain, so many folks hurting. I felt a little guilty even, I don't know if you've ever had this thought, I feel a little guilty sometime praying for myself. I've prayed for so many others for so long. And I think even in some of the most hurting times, I thought, well, there's Brother Persola. He had a gas truck explode on him. He's been in the fires of hell almost. And I talked to him a little bit on the phone, and he is getting a little better, but oh, he's weak, and his voice was so weak. My heart went out to him. And when you compare the sufferings that others have had, sometimes our suffering is not really all that much. And when you think about it, pray for those on our prayer list. And remember, that particular person may be having a hard time getting through the next hour or the next day with what they're going through. But pain is a reminder that we're not here permanent. But I look down in these verses here in Romans. They're just so great. Tells us that we got victory in the end, that the sufferings of this present time, as great as they might be, will not be worthy to be compared with the glory that we'll have in Christ on the other side in the time of victory when he comes back. We remember the Lord suffered also. Nobody suffered like he did on the cross. We read that in the prophet Isaiah chapter 53. No man went through what he did, and yet he did it willingly, and he took it upon himself, took our suffering and our sins upon himself. And I think about that when you can't do much else except try to get through the next hour or the next day. You have a lot of time to think, and you have a lot of time to pray. And there's some good that comes out of that. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. But brother, I'll tell you what, a little adversity, a little hurt will help you to get still and help you to think so much. I got a lot of comfort from just thinking the Lord knows. He went through more than I did. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, tells us over there that for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. You know the same flesh and blood that hurts me and hurts you, hurt him. He took on a human body. A body prepared for him, a body that could feel the pain just like we feel the pain. And it tells us here that he's partakers of that flesh and blood, that he likewise took part of the same. And through death, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Boy, I tell you what, the devil rejoices when he can hurt us. I mentioned Brother Persola a while ago. He did call me. His wife called me on the phone, and I was able to speak a few words to him. His voice was so weak, could not understand all, but thought I got the message. He wanted to tell me, said, preacher, you know, they had him in a coma and all that, trying to endure the pain. And he more or less described that he went down, as it were, into the fires of hell, and almost like the devil confronted him. And I told him, I said, remember something, Joe. That's what happened to Job in the Bible. He's the greatest example we have of a human being having to suffer and not understand why. And I said, you know what? Satan wanted to kill Job, but God wouldn't let him. And probably I'm sure he wanted to kill Job. I'm sure he'd like to kill me, like to kill you, anybody that's being any kind of testimony for the Lord. But just remember, God's still greater than he is, and he's in charge. He can't do a thing to us but what God allows it. And I want to say to you, remember that. He is a defeated foe. He is a bluff. He is threatening, but he can't carry out his threats. We have, as I said in this chapter 8 of Romans, no condemnation, and the last verse is no separation from God. Boy, that's victory. That's really victory. And I want to just say to you that the best is yet to come. Isn't that what we say in the Senior Patriots? Well, it's not just a slogan. It is. And this verse we read here, the sufferings of the present time, not worthy to be compared. If you jump ahead and see what the Bible says the end's going to be, it's a victory time. Man, you think about that. You read over in Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 65. You read over there of a time when the kingdom has come on earth, when Israel has recognized the Messiah. And when the kingdom that we've prayed in the so-called Lord's Prayer through the years, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that day's coming. And in that day, Isaiah chapter 11 tells us that'll be the day when the bear and the cow, their young ones, can lay down together, when the wolf and the sheep will lay down together, when the ox eateth straw, or when the lion eateth straw like an ox. Now he eats the ox, but then he'll eat straw. In other words, the nature even of the carnivorous nature of beasts will be changed. It's the kingdom age, glory time, victory time. And it tells us that there'll never be, in that day, there'll not be an old man that has not fulfilled his days. That a man's life will be like a tree, just go on and on. It'll be a time of victory, be a time of no more curse. When the rose bush will not have any thorns, when we will not need the hospitals, will not need the doctors, will not need the pain pills, and all those things that we prop up on today. And what a great time. Isaiah 65 tells us there'll be new heavens and a new earth in that millennial reign. When Jerusalem that's under attack, Jerusalem that's been destroyed more than most any city on earth, Jerusalem right now that's crying and suffering, it'll become a city of joy and a city of blessing during that time. And no more, it says, no more the voice of weeping will be there. And no more pain. No more of the things that we dread today. Oh, we have our good times, but we also going to have our bads. And I just wanted to come by and appreciate the opportunity to give a little message to the church. I appreciate your prayers to continue for us. I believe we're going to get on through this. I've asked God to give me a time to wrap things up and finish up. And of course, I haven't given up on the Lord Jesus coming back. He might come back before I have to take the next pain pill. That'd be great. And some of you out there listening and hurting is like you are, the day's coming that all the props you're using now to get by day, you'll not need them anymore. I got my grandpa's old cane, as I mentioned a while ago, and I thought about it a lot. This old walking stick's almost eternal. It's outlasted my grandpa, my dad. It's pretty much an eternal stick. But there'll be a day coming. Won't need no more pain pills. Won't need any more props. Any more doctor's appointments. I won't need this thing to walk. Kind of helps now. But the day is going to come in, I'm going to be able to shout, hallelujah, Hallelujah, I don't need this thing no more. Neither will you. That's going to be a great day. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, I know the preacher's listening and in the pain that he's in and trying to be encouraging to us. Amen. And a great man of faith. It's good to serve under a man like that for all the years that we have. And we thank God for him and we praise that God will raise him up. And it's nice to know that he understands that a lot of us are in that same boat, aren't we? And the older we get, the worse it gets. Aches and pains. And I'm in the same shape he is this morning with his back, but the Lord will suffice. Amen. So anyhow, it's good to hear from the preacher. I know he wanted to say something to you. He misses standing right here. Now, you know he was standing right here. All this was taken down for the school. But he was standing right here. But he just needed to be back and say a little something to his people. You know, when you serve 50-something years in one place, you know he misses it terribly not to be able to come to the Lord's house. So y'all be in prayer for him. And in the meantime, open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're going to spend we got a few minutes here. We're going to spend a few minutes in the book. And then maybe we'll see what happens next week. Chapter 1. It's Paul. Naturally, Paul is writing to the Galatians. And it gives us a lot of encouragement here. And in his very first verse, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who has raised him from the dead. Paul is trying to be very plain right here. He wants when he's talking to the Galatians, and he's writing his letter to them, he wants them to know and understand, I'm not influenced by any man, no man, but God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's trying to make that very, very plain. And there's a purpose for that. I can't say that. You know, I can't say that as a pastor. Paul can. And he wanted these people to know because in the short time that he had started the church there, in just a short time, they went from truth to false doctrine. And he's kind of amazed that they can change, give up what they believed in so easily, so quickly. And we see that today, don't we? We see a lot of Christians today that are defeated before they get started. And the reason for that is because they get off into strange doctrines. And it doesn't take a whole lot. You get saved, just like Pastor Carter was talking about, the devil would like to see him dead. You can bet on that. Because he's a warrior of the faith. And when you get saved and you accept Christ, devil's going to attack you. People, first thing they think when they get saved, boy, my life's going to be so much better. It is on the other side. But on this side, it's probably going to get a little worse for a while anyhow. Because the devil's going to do everything he can to defeat you. Now get this. He cannot take your salvation. When you're saved, it's eternal life. It is for an eternity. But he can beat you down so bad, so fast, that you're worthless to Christ here in the human flesh. In other words, you're not going to spread the gospel. You won't even live a Christian life. Now think about, look at yourself today. And this is why it's so important. This is why we teach doctrine. We teach standards. And people get annoyed by it, don't want to hear it. Why are we always teaching standards? Because people look at you. And they'll say, I don't need that. I'm living as good as they are. Why am I wasting my time in a church house? Because that's the attitude of the lost. They don't understand that you may be as rotten as they are. And we are. The Bible tells us that. There's no good thing in us except for Christ, right? Now, we know that. But the lost people doesn't understand that. So if the devil can beat you down right off the bat, you're no longer going to be a warrior for Christ. And that's exactly what the devil will do. Even if you can be a Christian for 10 years and everything chugging along, you're doing fine. Next thing you know, the devil's on your shoulder telling how bad you are. You do one little thing. You can think a bad thought or say, slip up and say something, and the devil's going to remind you of who you are. See, you're worthless. Are you really a Christian? You call yourself a Christian? But that's what the devil's going to do. And he's not going to let up. Man, that's what Paul wants to make them understand. Look, I wasn't sent by man. No man had any influence. Like I said, I can't say that. I was influenced by man. But Paul is making it very clear right here. I'm not influenced by any man. And he's not going to, in his writings and in his teachings, he really doesn't care what you think about it, does he? You notice he writes exactly what God gives him to write. And if it steps on your toes, so be it. Paul's not here to make you happy. He's here to make his God happy and serve his God. So that's what he's doing in the very opening statement of Galatians. He's letting them know, I am sent by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who has all power, and God the Father, who has all power. He wants them to plainly know and get it understood that God has given me this revelation. And he's passing it on to them. And then for them to let go so easily, and we do the same thing today. You see churches all across the country closing doors every day because they've given up on the truth of the gospel. They actually don't believe what they claim they believe. You ever thought about that? You know, when you accept Christ, you accept him how? By faith. It's all by faith. You come to know and understand that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And by faith, you reach out and you ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. It's all by faith. And then we'll turn right around in the first little struggle. Dr. Carter's in a struggle right now, isn't he? But have you noticed he hadn't lost his faith? He's still hanging on to the truth. Why? Because the truth is the truth. And no matter how sickly we are, no matter how bad we are, the truth doesn't change. The truth is still the truth. God is still God, Jesus is still King, and he's still our Savior. Amen. And he's hanging on to that. And that's what he's addressing the Galatians about right here. Paul was a little bit frustrated, a little bit deterred that they so easily and so quickly let go of the truth. But folks, I see the same thing today. I see Christians being beat down for the littlest, most stupid things. It's almost like we're looking for an excuse to get some relief. Well, I'm tired of serving. Think about that. Don't we do that sometimes? It's like almost we make it almost a burden to serve the Lord, when it should never be a burden. It's a great honor to be part of the family of God. Our problem is we've become such a selfish people, and we're all about me. Everything's about me, 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 me. We're so focused on me that we've taken our focus and our eyes off of Christ. And we can understand, I'm just as guilty as you. A lot of times I get frustrated about things, and I shouldn't. I have troubles with my mother right now. I get frustrated sometimes. That's because I let me get involved. Instead of remembering my God is in charge of that. He'll take care of that in his time and his purpose. My job is just to continue to serve him. And it's hard. I understand. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances is. Some of us, it's in business. The devil will attack you, but what do? We've got to say, look, I'm putting it in God's hands. I'm just going to serve. I'm going to continue to do the things I've done. I trusted and gave my life to Christ, and that's where I'm going to live. That's where I'm going to stand. That's where I'm going to stay. That's what I'm going to do daily. And when we do that, our Christian lives will continue to grow and improve. And if we'll continue to fight, you know, sooner or later, the old devil will leave you alone. He'll flee from you until you give him another opportunity. Leave that door open for him. But he'll flee because he's not going to waste his time. He'll go on down to the next guy who's going to be a little bit easier to crack. When he finds out that you're going to stand in the true doctrine of Christ and you're not changing, he'll move on until he gets a weak opportunity, like Pastor Carter's down right now. The devil's going to do everything he can to try to defeat him, and he's going to try to take that pain and turn it into a sorrow against God. That's what he'll do to you. But as you see, that hadn't worked, has it? Pastor Carter just used it for God's glory. So he turned it right back around on that old devil. He said, no, you're not taking my glory. You know, if God's got me here, what does Paul say? Whatever his situation is, he's going to be content. Paul's going to be content. And isn't that what Dr. Carter just said? If God put me in this situation, I'll deal with it. He's going to give God the glory for it. He's going to stand to the true stuff. And that's what Paul's doing. And all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. Now, he's saying all the brethren that's with me, they're standing in the same stuff too. All them that was traveling with Paul at the time. He's saying that they're sticking to it too. Staying right here. Verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And right here he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Folks, there is no other gospel. There is none. Churches all over the world today is trying to change this gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other. You say, well, how are people so easily persuaded? Well, how many people listen to these TV evangelists? They'll come up with some of the craziest doctrines you ever heard in your life. Well, I'm still trusting in Jesus. Yeah, but you're one step further away. So you start grabbing hold to that false doctrine. I know some people who goes around here and knocks on the door. All is well, for there is no hell, right? False doctrine. And people fall into that, and people believe that. How about the Muslim faith? False doctrine. How about Catholics? That's a sore with some people. It's false doctrine. It's not true doctrine. But you understand it all. It starts with one step. One step to the left, and the old devil gets in there and gets working on you. Next thing you know, you're so far off track. Now, like I said, you can't lose your salvation. You're saved. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But how many people in your family, your children, your great-grandchildren, or the people around you, your friends, how many of them are going to hell because they don't have Christ? And because of the false doctrine that you allow into your life, they'll never get saved. You read over in the book of Revelations at the judgment seat, and God says he'll wipe away all the tears. Have you ever asked yourself why there's going to be tears in heaven? Can you imagine you sitting up there in judgment day and you watch a brother or family member or neighbor sentenced to hell because of something, the way you lived your life? Maybe they'll look at you and say, well, why didn't you tell me? You're sitting over, you're saved, and you didn't tell me about Jesus. So we don't think about those things, do we? But that's the reality of it. And I'm sure there's going to be tears in heaven. And I'm sure all of us are going to face a little bit of that. Because we put self first instead of putting Christ first in our life. And we allow the devil, we give him room to get in. And we allow him to work in our lives. And that's where Paul is starting right here. We're out of time. So we're going to stop right there. So we'll get pick back this up next week. Most likely. Be in prayer for Pastor Carter. Be in prayer for Brother Bert. We got a Christmas cantata coming up. Pray that the Lord will release him. We need him till then. And then if he gets sick, no, I'm just kidding. We don't want him to get sick at any time. But y'all be in prayer for Brother Bert. What's our Sunday school count this morning? 8:14. Hey, it's up a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we'll take about a 10-minute break and come back for the preaching service.